Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 and nine months FY25 earnings conference call of Jammu Kashmir Bank Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. We have with us from the management, Mr. Amitava Chatterjee, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Chatterjee. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good evening and very warm welcome to all the participants to the J&K Bank December 2024 earnings call. This is my first interaction with you all in my new role as MD and CEO of this bank. Since taking over on 30th of December 2024, at the outset, I would like to briefly introduce myself. My name is Amitava Chatterjee, and in my last professional capacity, I was discharging my duties as Deputy Managing Director, Commercial Clients Group of State Bank of India. I have had a career spanning over three decades with SBI, where I joined as a probationary officer in 1990 and held key leadership roles across diverse geographical locations and strategic functions, including leading SBI's operations as CGM Circle Head in New Delhi as well as Jaipur. I have also served as the MD and CEO of SBI Capital Markets. Accompanying me on this call are my fellow colleagues from the bank's senior management: Executive Director, Mr. Sudhir Gupta; Corporate Credit Head, Mr. Ashutosh Sareen; Retail Credit and Liability Head, Mr. Narjay Gupta; Impaired Assets Portfolio Management Head, Mr. Rajesh Malatikku; Finance Head, Mr. Sushil Kumar Gupta; Chief Risk Officer, Mr. Altaf Hussain Kira; and DGM Treasury, Mr. Ajay Kohli. While this bank has a rich legacy of over eight decades and is a household name in this part of the country, that is, UTs of J&K and Ladakh, the bank has frequently been in news in the recent past for all the good reasons, with the remarkable turnaround of the bank appreciated by one and all, including the Honorable Prime Minister. As I venture into this new role, I am fully cognizant of the responsibility on my shoulders and sustain the good work done under the leadership of my predecessor, Mr. Baldev Prakash, and build upon it further to take the bank to even greater heights in the years ahead. My foremost and immediate focus is on fulfilling the commitments made by the bank with respect to market guidance 2025, which we maintain unchanged, though we acknowledge that achieving the set guidance on a few parameters would a little bit be challenging, especially given the economic slowdown being witnessed. That is, credit growth of 15%, deposit growth of 12%, CASA of 50%, NIM 3.75%-3.85%, return on assets 1.25%-1.30%, return on equity 17%-18%, and GNPA at 3.5%. The reassessment and consequent realignment of the bank's strategies, if needed, will be taken up at the beginning of the next financial year only. From an economic outlook perspective, the global economy is projected to remain resilient as it has been in 2024, despite several headwinds, with IMF retaining its stable yet underwhelming growth forecast for 2024 and 2025 unchanged at 3.2% amidst waning inflation. Domestically, there has been a slowdown in the growth momentum, with growth in real GDP in quarter two at 5.4%, which is the lowest in seven quarters. This decline in growth is mainly on account of substantial deceleration in industrial growth from 7.4% in quarter one to 2.1% in quarter two. Another reason for the moderation in growth is the exhaustion of the pent-up demand accumulated during the pandemic. As a result of this slowdown, RBI has reduced its growth projection for financial year 24-25 from 7.2% to 6.6%. However, high frequency indicators in quarter 3 indicate that the slowdown has bottomed out and Indian economy is recovering from the slowdown in momentum, aided by strong festive demand and pickup in rural activities, with real GDP growth for quarter 3 and quarter 4 projected at 6.8% and 7.2% respectively. Despite this downward revision, India's medium-term prospects remain healthy, with India set to become the world's third largest economy by 2030-31 and forecast to grow at an annual rate of 6.7%. Thus, Indian economy is set to maintain its position as a major driver of global growth at a time when the overall world economy is projected to remain relatively stagnant. With inflation gradually moving towards central bank targets from multi-decadal highs, several central banks have embarked on policy pivots. However, Monetary Policy Committee of RBI has kept the policy repo rate unchanged with neutral stance and focus on durable alignment of inflation with the target while supporting growth. During the quarter, RBI has, in consistency with the neutral policy stance, reduced CRR by 50 bps in two equal tranches of 25 bps with effect from December 14 and December 28, 2024 to 4% to ease any potential liquidity stress in coming months due to tax outflows. Increase in currency in circulation and volatility in capital flows, with this step estimated to release a primary liquidity of about rupees 1.16 lakh crore to the banking system. Our home territory of J&K is not behind when it comes to economic development, with state GDP doubling from 1.7 lakh crore in 2015-16 to 2.45 lakh crore in 23-24. Despite facing challenges in the form of massive floods, political unrest and COVID-19 pandemic. And the GDP is estimated to double again in the next 5 years, with emphasis on service sector, industries, horticulture and tourism, according to the JK Economic Survey 2022-23. The year 2024 has been significant for J&K, marked by developments across political, economic and social spheres, with important events like successful conduct of state elections with higher voter turnout of around 64%, multiple visits by the Honorable Prime Minister to the region, showcasing government's commitment to the region's development and laying foundation for projects worth 41,700 crores, with inauguration of institutions like AIIMS in the region. With the beginning of 2025, Kashmir's long-awaited dream of rail connectivity will finally see the light of the day, with the Srinagar-New Delhi Rail Link, a monumental infrastructure project spanning over two decades, set to become a reality, with its scheduled inauguration this month. The new rail link promises to be a game-changer for various stakeholders, including local businesses, students, tourists, and non-local workers, as it opens doors to enhanced connectivity and economic growth. J&K Tourism Department has declared 2024 as one of the best tourist seasons in the valley in the valley's history, as the UT and JK welcomed 2.35 crore tourists in 2024, with an extraordinary 300% increase in foreign tourist arrivals over the past 2.5 years. With inauguration of the Zedmore Tunnel, the popular tourist destination of Sonmarg would also open up for the winter tourism. The railway connectivity and the plans to develop four new destinations, Kokarnag, Jodhpatri, Bhadarwa and Baradari, with world-class tourist infrastructure as a joint venture between the World Bank, J&K government and the centre, will further boost tourism in the UT, thereby contributing to the region's continued economic transformation as tourist industry stands as the second main industry in Kashmir after horticulture. Shifting focus to the financial performance of the bank for quarter three and 9 months of financial year 25, I am pleased to announce that the bank has continued its recent history of consistently recording impressive profitability numbers again this quarter, and is in course to post lifetime record annual profits for the third year in a row, which is testimony to the remarkable turnaround of this bank and its commitment to deliver on the promises made. Operating profit for this quarter is again almost touching 750 crores, with net profit for the quarter recorded rupees 532 crores, witnessing a YOY growth of 33%. The bank has done reasonably well in the last two quarters in mobilizing deposits, registering a 9.7% growth YOY despite a degrowth in quarter one. And considering that historically deposit growth has been better in quarter four, we expect to further improve upon this in the last quarter. However, there are challenges on the CASA front, which are persistent across the banking industry, with share of term deposits in the total deposits rising to 61.4% in September 24 from 59.8% a year ago as per the RBI data. The reduction in CASA ratio owing to the accretion in term deposits at a much faster pace than CASA is attributable mainly to two reasons. That is, one, for higher returns driven by high inflation, and people parking their funds in high interest rate deposits before impending rate cut. With 84% of our term deposits in the 7-8% interest rate bracket. In our case also, term deposits have grown at 15% YOY against a growth of only 4.4% in CASA deposits. Despite this, the bank continues to maintain its position of having one of the best CASA ratios in the industry, even in these challenging times, at 48.17%, with CASA in our home territories of Jammu, Kashmir and Ladakh, which accounts for around 90% of our deposit base, still holding strong at about 51%. Though in terms of CASA ratio, there is a reduction in on Q on Q basis, in absolute terms, the CASA deposits have increased by 1.25% quarter on quarter. With the release of government payments in Q4, payment realization in horticulture sector, strong winter tourism season, and the probable continuation in the slowdown in equity markets, we expect augmentation of our CASA ratio in the last quarter. Advances growth has been lagging, in net advances only growing at 7% YOY, while on quarter-on-quarter basis there has hardly been any change. This slow growth in advances has not been broad-based, though, with advances to personal, SME and agriculture sectors making up around 61% of the bank's gross advances, growing at more than 10% YOY. The sectors which have been mainly contributing to this overall lag in growth of advances are trade and corporate, remaining almost stagnant or marginally below the numbers a year ago, with part of the reasons for the same being the caution exercised in certain sectors by design, owing to the caution sounded by various regulators, and a conscious decision for the time being to focus on higher yielding retail loans in order to compensate the pressure on margins on account of higher cost of deposits due to change in mix, which were mentioned in the previous earnings call as well. The bank's decision is yielding intended results with consistent improvement in NIM for the two quarters now. Though in the current quarter, the improvement in NIM has been partially aided by boost in yield on investments as well, rising 7 bps quarter on quarter to 6.90 for quarter 3, with NIM for 9 months being recorded at 3.93%, comfortably above our guidance. We now intend to improve our focus on corporate loans in the last quarter for improving our advances growth, with an aim to maintain a retail corporate split at around 2:1. Within our biggest sector of personal finance, YOY growth in rest of India at 17.8% has outpaced the growth in Jammu and Kashmir, Ladakh at 9.5%, with housing loans being the best performing segment at bank level with 13.1% YOY growth, Whereas in rest of India, both housing loans and car loans have grown rapidly at 18.4% and 22.4% YOY respectively, which again shows that the bank is successfully executing its plans for expanding in retail portfolio in the rest of India. The income statement reflects positives throughout the net, throughout with net interest income for 9 months growing at 10.7% YOY and other income at 21.9% YOY, while the operating costs continue to be under control, growing marginally at 1.1% only. With the biggest contributor, the employee costs declining by almost 2% YOY. Most notable within the income statement is a growth of 32% to 33% YOY in both operating profit and net profit for the 9 months, with operating profit for the period crossing rupees 2,100 crores and net profit almost reaching 1,500 crores, recorded at 1,498 crores exactly. The fact that this growth has been recorded over a year in which bank has already posted record lifetime profits adds further weight to it. In line with the expectations outlined by us in our earnings call a year ago, cost of deposits seemed to have peaked with high accretion in term deposits, especially in the high interest rate bucket of 7 to 8%, and is moderating now, reducing by 4 bips quarter on quarter and recorded at 4.76% for quarter 3 and 4.74% for the 9 months. The annualized returns on assets and return on equity for 9 months have been recorded at 1.28 and 16.96% and are in line with our guidance for the fiscal. Cost to income ratio, where the bank was an outlier with a cost to income ratio of 77.18% for financial year 21-22, has been brought to a comparable level of below 60%, being recorded at 57.80 for the 9 months, with further moderation expected going forward. In terms of asset quality, though the recoveries have slowed down due to the impact of slowdown in the domestic economy on borrowers' repayment capacities, fresh slippages continue to remain under control, with gross slippage ratio for the 9 months for current financial year below 1% mark, that is 0.97% annualized, against 1.29% for the corresponding period last year. Gross NPA has witnessed an increase in quarter 3, with GNPA ratio being recorded at 4.08% as on 31st December 2024, and consequentially, net NPA also witnessing an increase and being recorded at 0.94%. However, the bank expects substantial improvement in these parameters in quarter 4, as the bank has launched a special one-time settlement scheme, Karz Se Mukti, which is valid till 31st of March 25. Such a scheme was being demanded by the trade and industry bodies in our core territories, and hence the bank expects good response and recovery under the same. Despite this increase in GNPA in the current quarter, the credit cost continues to be benign, and we expect to remain like this for the current fiscal in line with our guidance. The bank continues to maintain a healthy PCR of around 90%. On the capital front, CRAR has been recorded at 15.09% and CET1 at 11.67% without reckoning the 9 months net profit, which has an incremental impact of 148 bps. With continuing healthy internal accruals, the bank is well placed with adequate capital buffers. Further, increase in foreign institutional investors and FPI shareholding of the bank from 5.81% a year ago to 7.07% as on 31st December 24, despite the financial services sector experiencing the highest FPI outflow of 54,500 crores in 2024, is a strong validation of the bank's growth story and long-term potential. The platform for another record-breaking year is set, and we expect a good ending to the current financial year, coinciding with a good beginning to my innings as leader of this resilient institution. I thank you all for listening patiently and look forward to your support and trust going ahead for taking this bank forward and delivering value to our customers and other stakeholders. I'll be glad to have your questions now. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ashwini Agrawal from Demeter Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir, congratulations on a very good show for the December quarter. The question I have is that, you know, on the cost side, it's been a very benign environment driven by some write-backs on account of pension provisions, as well as way below normalized credit costs. So the question is that, you know, as we look forward to the next 2 or 3 years, what do you think would be a sustainable cost to income ratio on the operating side, and what would be a sustainable credit cost number? And with that in mind, I mean, what do you think would be a reasonable long-term ROA and ROE target, if I may ask?
Very good afternoon, and thank you very much for the appreciation. I believe that the credit cost, because of whatever the bank has done in the last 6-7 quarters, I believe on both sides, reduction of NPAs as well as providing for the bad loans, the credit cost will continue to remain benign. I have no doubt in that. So, if you are looking at the cost to income ratio, yes, you are right that the cost side has almost bottomed out, if I can say, because the employee cost, which was a major part of the cost side, has been now controlled because of what you said, the revision in the pension conditions and pension terms. I believe going forward, the aim of the bank is to increase the numerator, that is the income side. There are several opportunities. I guess the opportunities related to the selling of third-party products will be more intensified to increase the augment the income, as well as I believe this bank in the credit side has been somewhat lacking in the non-fund based business area. So this is also one area, because we have taken exposures in various companies on a top line improvement basis only, while we have not been able to capture their other businesses, especially the non-fund based business, which is a very important source of other income. So this effort will continue, like you said, for the next two to three years, beginning now. And also, there are a few low-hanging fruits where we have chances of recovery in our technically written-off accounts. So all these three things put together, I believe that the cost-to-income ratio will be as close to 50% as possible. My personal target would be to bring it below 50%. I cannot immediately give a timeline to it, but the timeline that you said, 2 to 3 years, definitely within that period we'll be able to bring it below 50%.
And so my conclusion from what you just said is that the increase in fee-based income will offset the normalization of credit costs, with the ROA being possibly in the area where what we are seeing now on a sustainable basis.
Yes. That's true.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
And all the best. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hardik Shah from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. So I just wanted to understand what exactly led the yield spike in the current quarter, And you're also mentioning that you'll be focusing on wholesale opportunities as well. So where exactly do we see our margin settle now? How do we look at your margin trajectory?
Thank you, Hardik. Meeting at a different platform looks...
Yes.
So, the spike in the yield happened essentially because there was a MCLR upward revision last quarter, which took its effect this quarter. So, it was a minor thing, but it actually happened. So, we had an improvement in the yield. And yes, definitely going forward, we would be looking at the opportunities that are available in the rest of India. See, the ticket size of the loans within Jammu, Kashmir and Ladakh happens to be moderate. So if we intend to improve the top line, we definitely have to look for big ticket size loans in the rest of India areas, as well as the participating in the developmental projects that are going to come up within this state. These two put together, we will definitely be required to go in for corporate advances. Yes, they would be challenging because of the competitive rates. But at the same time, if you look at our CASA, one of the best CASA ratios in the industry. So currently, we can sustain being competitive for some time at least, till we are in a position to again reassess ourselves going forward. So at the moment, the bank is capable of being competitive and growing the top line across the country.
Understood, sir. But no, quantitative guidance on, how much NIM compression would we expect?
I intend to remain around 4%.
Okay, understood, sir, understood. And another question is that you mentioned in your opening remarks, there's a settlement scheme which you launched, right? So can you elaborate more on it, and how will it impact our margins or asset quality?
See, this one-time settlement scheme is a compromise settlement scheme which is non-discretionary scheme which has been launched. It has a wide coverage, almost the total number of borrowers that can be covered is almost 27,600 with a total amount of almost, 1,300 to 1,400 crores. So we have made this scheme quite lucrative now. There were certain requirements, adjustments to be made. We have made it, and I believe with the people working in the ground, there will be substantial recovery coming in, which will be on both counts, on reduction of NPA as well as improvement of our profit through recoveries in the technically written off accounts. So I firmly believe that this scheme, which is valid up to 31st of March, is going to be a very good instrument to improve our both profitability as well as NPA position for the last quarter.
Understood, sir. And just one last data keeping question. What is your written off pool currently?
Total written off pool would be around 4,600 and around 4,600 crores. Which mostly the accounts are in NCLT or under some settlement or some very old ones which are very difficult to recover maybe. But the total pool would be around 4,600 crores.
Understood, sir. Understood. That's it from myself. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Hardik. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm audible, sir.
Yes, Deepak ji, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, sir, for this opportunity. So just I have one query. In terms of growth, how do we want to recalibrate the growth? In 9 months, we are at about 7%, right? And I think earlier we were looking at 15%. So what sort of, this year growth we are looking at?
See, there is a reason why this bank has had a muted growth for the 9 months. If you look at the, there have been two elections. And then the last third quarter, there was an impact of severe winters. So I don't see, I mean, I would not read much into the muted growth that has happened. It doesn't mean that we'll not be able to grow in the fourth quarter. Just to mention a small number, there is a pipeline of loans sanctioned yet to be disbursed of close to 12,000 crores. So that, another pipeline of loans under process, another 5,000 crores. So I believe that we can actually make the fourth quarter count. So I cannot say that 100% the 15% benchmark of the guidance will be achieved or not currently sitting here today. But in all probability, we'll be very close to that.
Fair enough. That's very helpful, sir. I think, that would be it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Sonal Kohil from Bohead Corporation. Please go ahead.
So thank you for this opportunity, sir. Firstly, on the NIM side, if I heard you correctly, you said that 4% kind of margin is sustainable. Did I hear you correctly?
You heard it correctly. The confidence comes from the fact that we have the 62% market share in the areas of Jammu, Kashmir and Ladakh, where we have a 50% CASA ratio, 51% in fact. So that gives me the confidence going forward. If we can maintain the CASA ratio, I do not see any reason why we cannot maintain a NIM of around 4%.
And sir, is it also because, your LDR is one of the lowest perhaps in the country today, and even if you go for corporate deposits, you still make more than your investments, and that is also an additional rationale why you think your margins are, sustainable, because you'll have a delta in your yield as your mix shifts from investment to, loans, even if some part of that is corporate loans, your overall yield increase. Are you counting on that as well?
It will be a combination of all the factors.
Right. So do you have any LDR in target in mind? It's a little too early for me to ask you these questions, considering, it's been just 1 month.
I think 70%, reaching around 70% would be good.
So many other banks are, between 75 to 85, percent.
There are banks which are more than 100%.
Yes. And the bank also was looking at reaching 75% or 80% over a period of time, obviously. Not in 1 year, but over a, 2-3 year journey. Is there any reason to believe that there would be a change in strategy on that side? Or, you're referring to the short-term target rather than a long-term target?
No, not that. If you are asking me about the target spanning around two years from now, so definitely we will be targeting a CD ratio of close to 75%. But what I said was a medium term, maybe short term target of reaching around 70-71%. See, the bank has had a history of high NPAs in the past. So the most important factor that we look at is quality along with growth. So we will continue the efforts of growth, but with quality. If that permits us, and if the economic scenario is good enough, that permits us, if we are able to take exposures in quality assets, we do not mind improving or increasing our CD ratio.
And so two more follow-up questions, two or three more. You mentioned about roughly 15% growth, for the full year is a possibility, So if I take 15% number, for the full year, it implies that 12.5% growth Q on Q. Am I getting the math right? I mean, that's a pretty big jump. I understand there's a big corporate line, therefore you may be referring to, but I just wanted to reconfirm that.
If I have to answer this a little bit candidly, I would say my past experience tells me that it is not impossible.
Okay. And sir, in the previous call, and we've been investing in the bank for almost 10 years, you know, the management had alluded to a lot of gains on the income side from treasury initiatives, which will come over maybe over the next 2 years, and the treasury training, etc. had started, and the income from that is pretty low, we were told, and a lot of effort was made last year. And also, you know, there are a lot of senior employees which are expected to retire over the next 1-2 years, and we were told that there would be an employee cost savings on that account. Is that story intact, or is there anything to expect?
If we look at the numbers, the employee cost this 9 months has actually decelerated. It has gone down by 2%. So that story holds. Going forward, it is further going to come down, because what you said, lot of employees are going to retire, and we have not had much of a recruitment for the past few years. So that definitely is going to bring down the cost. We are more looking at increasing the efficiency of our employees going forward, so that the reduction in the numbers because of retirement does not affect our performance. So that is one. And of course, what you mentioned is correct. That is also in my mind. The income from treasury, we would definitely want to, in the last quarter itself, it has improved. The non-SLR portfolio of the bank has earned more than the SLR portfolio. The yield has been better. So these are good signs going forward. And of course, going forward, my attention would be quite a bit on this front to make the treasury more profitable for the bank.
The last two questions. Your income from toll in the first 9 months was 146. If you can share the number for Q3 and for the full year. And secondly, your tax rate for the 9 months and Q3 is 29%. What is the likely tax rate for 25 and 26?
Could you repeat the income from what did you say?
Technically return of accounts was okay. 146 crores in 9 months. What was that number for Q3, if you can share, and likely for FY25? What is likely to be the tax rate for 25 and 26?
Q3, it was moderate, around 25 crores only. Q4, I am expecting close to 100 to 150 crores. And going forward, it will be, we are now limited to the very few low-hanging fruits. So, I will not say that it has been exhausted, but around 25 to 30 crores per quarter is what I expect each quarter going forward in the next financial year.
I just want to, in the tax rate for 25-26, your first 9 months tax rate is 29%, and why is it higher than 26%?
Sorry, I couldn't get you.
So your likely tax rate for 2025 and 2026, for the first 9 months, the income tax rate for the bank was 29%.
Just hold on. Can we share this offline with you? I'll share this number offline with you.
And sir, lastly, your OPEX, if I've understood from you, is going to grow at a muted rate and much lower than your loan growth for next 1-2 years. Have I understood it correctly?
Yes.
Great. Thank you so much, sir, and best luck. We hope to meet you at some point of time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Dikshi from Investse PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Yeah. Yeah, so my question is related to the loan book of the other sectors. So we have the exposure in personal plants is around 40% and rest in other sectors, right? As you started mentioning the loan book breakup from last quarter. So 60% is in the other sectors, your trade, manufacturing, financial market, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so what about the loan growth in these sectors and why the GNPA is rising from last quarter? We have the only data from last quarter.
I wouldn't say that the GNPA has been rising on the other sectors all of a sudden. Yes, you are right in saying that other than the personal finance, agriculture and MSME, most of the other sector loans are in the rest of India. So, there has been a slight spike. These were the accounts which were in stress for some time. But the healthy sign is for the quarter, we had an upgradation of around 60, 67, 68 crores, and also a concern in these sectors. And also, if you ask me, we will not shy away from taking exposures in the other sectors as well, while our focus will remain on the personal finance, agriculture, MSME going forward, which is within the state, and maybe in other sectors, as I mentioned earlier, in quality advances in the other sectors in the rest of India.
So in the rest of the India, when you are saying ki, the other sectors exposure in the rest of the India, so can you just give the breakup of exposure of other sectors in rest of the India and Jammu and Kashmir?
See, if I have to mention, manufacturing has a 7% exposure, infrastructure has 8.40, and real estate has 1.27, and others around 1%.
It is total exposure. I'm just saying ki regional wise breakup.
Okay, if you ask me of the total exposure in corporate advances in rest of India is around 20,000 crores only. That is 28% of the total advance loan book. So it is less than 30%.
Corporate finance.
The rest of India mostly is corporate finance. Of course, rest of India has done well in home loans and auto loans also. But the portfolio size is not too big at the moment.
Okay, and GNPA in that book?
GNPA, which book are you talking about?
Corporate finance, if you're saying 20% rest of the India.
That is around, I think, 5% odd, around 5.35%.
Okay. So, what are the steps you're taking for the quality of this loan book? I'm just concerned about the rest of the loan book, except personal finance. In Jammu, Kashmir and rest of the India, what are the steps you are taking? Because these is basically 60% of the portfolio, and if you just average out the GNPA, it will be more than 5%, right?
Yeah, not 40%, it is 30%.
60% I'm saying, other sectors except personal finance.
Okay. No, other than personal finance also, I'll just try to give you a breakup of the scenario. Other than the corporate advances in rest of India, there are sectors in J&K where we have given loans, and in general, the NPA percentage in all these sectors is quite low. So you are right in saying that the NPA in the rest of India loan book, apart from the retail loan book, is slightly higher than our average NPA in percentage terms. So if you ask me the steps that are being taken, yes, we are basically two steps. One, to have very sound underwriting practices, and second, being selective on the rating of the accounts that we take exposure in. We will be very, very careful in which accounts we take exposure in while going for these corporate advances in the rest of India. So both put together, I think it will work.
Okay. So is this understanding is correct? Your major portion of provision coverage is inclined toward this rest of the portfolio, rest of the sectors?
Not essentially. See, our provisioning covers the entire loan book, entire non-standard assets as well as standard assets as per regulatory norms. And in non-standard assets, we have an additional 10% provision done beyond the regulatory requirement. So I believe that we have sufficient buffer while making provisions, and we have continued to be around 90% in our PCR.
Can you just give the breakup of NNPA in personal finance and rest of the sectors? Because I think the major portion of your 60% of your portfolio.
See, NNPA breakup, I think we'll share it with you offline. The exact numbers I don't have at the moment. But NNPA is below 1%. So, in the non-personal segment, it would be, I believe it will be equally shared between the personal segment and the non-personal segment. I don't mean the personal segment, the retail segment. Personal, it will be very low.
It will be very low because GNPA is 0.84%, so NNPA will be close to 0%. You don't need to, save the capital for the per se. But last question regarding Jammu and Kashmir, you have more branches in Kashmir, right? In Kashmir region, localities.
Yes.
So, what is the reason Jammu mein nahi hai? Because only two, I think, localities you have branches in Jammu.
No. We are across the entire geography of Jammu and Kashmir. I think we have around 837 branches spread across these two geographies. 360 branches in Jammu and 477 branches in Kashmir.
Mr. Dixit, does that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Roshan Gulecha from Ineven Capital Fund. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir.
Hello.
Yeah, just wanted to know, in the last August 2024, there was a 8,000 crore budget allocated to Jammu and Kashmir Bank from the government. So, has the money come and it's been allotted, or any update on that?
I don't know. If you are talking about the pension repayments, has already happened.
Okay, that has come and done, right?
Yes. And if you look at our investment portfolio, it has almost gone up by that amount.
Okay. Yeah, because you had written it as a provision before, and that has come and it will improve the balance sheet, right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next follow-up question is from the line of Dixit from Investec PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi again. Question on again on the other sectors, the loan book growth. What is the loan book growth of these sectors? Because as you highlighted this from last quarter only, so I just wanted to know the trend of.
Okay, I'll give you the entire breakup. YoY, we have grown 10.42% in agriculture. Trade, we have been flat. Personal segment, we have grown by 10.29%. SME, we have grown by 10.36%. Corporate has been flat. And others has been 7.3%. So total around the 6%, 7% mark that we have mentioned.
And for personal finance, if you just share the data of last 5 years, the concentration or the exposure in personal finance from last 5 years, what it was?
Can I understand the question correctly? You want the last 5 years, growth in the personal segment?
No. The exposure of personal plans. I just wanted to know, is there any concentration in personal plans loan book only? Because last quarter, we've seen...
I just mentioned that there has been a 10% growth in personal segment. There has been a 10% growth in the agriculture segment. There has been a 10% growth in the MSME segment as well. The flat ones were the corporate and the trade. These were flat. Otherwise, we had had a 10% growth in each of these segments. So there is no concentration on any one of the segments. We are growing evenly almost in all the segments.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Shah from OHM Portfolio Equity Research. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. And sir, congratulations to you. And we all are excited by your illustrious track record and what you could do to the bank. So, again, I don't want any numbers or targets, but qualitatively, what would you focus on doing different in J&K Bank over the next 2 years? And what do you see the major challenges, again, internal to achieve the objective or to, you know, get the J&K Bank to work at its own potential? Thank you.
Thank you very much for the compliments. I believe the challenges being faced are no different from the challenges that are being faced in the rest of the banking industry. So as usual, we have the challenges related to deposit growth. We will continue to have the challenges related to the economic scenario. So these are common factors which are common for all the banks in the country. If you ask me, the bank has been in a very steady and very good path for the last 2 years. You just consider the NPA percentage has come down from as high as 12% to 4% now, gross NPAs. If you look at 2020-2021, the bank was in a loss of 1,100 crores. From there, we are currently target of almost reaching double that amount in profits. The capital CRAR at the moment, even without considering the accrual of the profits for the 9 months, is more than 15%. So a lot of good things have happened. I do not see any reason to drastically change the course. the course will remain the same. While we might add certain new aspects to improving the things which are already on course for improvement. Like I already mentioned during this call, that we will be looking at newer avenues for other income. We will try to improve the cost-to-income ratio so that it is at par with the industry. These two things, including bringing the NPS further down, will be a prime focus. And of course, with whatever I have learned in my banking career so far, I would definitely want this bank to grow, considering the fact that it has been a bank since 1938. I believe that it has not reached its true potential till now. So there will be possibilities and opportunities available. We will try to take them. But again, I will repeat that the growth will not come at the cost of quality. The growth will happen with quality. But I am very, very optimistic about the bank going forward will be, if not in the top five, at least in the top seven private sector banks in the country.
Thank you, sir, and best of luck. We do believe that treasury income and related areas offer, you know, low-hanging fruits, which hopefully, you know, we can see the results in the next 2 years, given your efforts and focus. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anand Dama from Emkay Global. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. And congratulations for appointment in J&K Bank. Sir, there was a notification regarding appointment of RBI nominee director on the board. So wanted to clarify, is it a new appointment or there was a nominee on the board and it's just a replacement? And if not, then basically why there is a appointment of RBI nominee director on the board?
This appointment is new. But there have been RBI nominees in the board of the bank in the past as well. So from time to time, RBI does nominate directors on the board. So this is existing, we did not have one. But in the recent past, we had. So we are now again going to have another director nominee from RBI. It's a normal process. It is nothing related to anything that has happened or is happening in the bank. It is a natural process.
Okay. Just secondly, now that we have a new state government altogether, in the past we have seen intervention from the state government. So how are you seeing, I mean, I'm sure that you not have spent basically much time in the bank, but any intervention that you see from the state government? And secondly, there was this capital infusion which was supposed to happen from the Ladakh government. Whether that has happened or any timeline that you see when it will be happening?
See, out of the 59% stake of the promoters, 4% is from Ladakh. So that perhaps answers your one part of the question. The second is, if you ask me, you have partially answered the question. I have been here only for the last 20-21 days. But the experience that I have had, I must share that there has been absolutely no interference or intervention by the promoters, that the state governments at all. The bank has been functioning independently as a professional institution, committed to the stakeholders as any listed entity should be. So at the moment, I can tell you only this much. Only time will tell if there is any difference, but at the moment, there is absolutely no difference at all, even after elected government has taken, is in place in the geography.
But I think there were some talks about Ladakh government possibly increasing additional capital. So wanted an update on that. Have you heard?
There has not been any additional capital from any of the governments so far.
Okay. Sure, sir. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Amitava Chatterjee for closing comments.
Thank you, Sejal, and thank you all for the participating and joining in today. For any further questions or queries, you can contact our investor relations desk. Thank you once again. Thank you very much.
On behalf of Jammu and Kashmir Bank Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.